Todo bien. Today I'm going to talk about neighborhoods around public schools in New York City and disparities in access to sources of unhealthy food. First, I'd like to thank the other members of the Built Environment and Health Project who worked on this study, and it benefited from a lot of hard work from some very talented people. First, I have no relationships to disclose. So why are we interested in examining disparities in the food environments around schools? Well, first off, low-income Hispanic and African-American children have faced a higher risk of obesity and related health problems. This graph is from a report by the New York City Department of Health, and it's on obesity among Head Start children. And it represents children, the percent of children who are obese by race and ethnicity. So even at a very young age, you can see that African-American and Latino children have higher rates of obesity. So as children continue on through school, differences in their food environments may help explain some of these disparities. And it's only recently that researchers have really started looking at food environments near schools, so more really needs to be known about this topic. So researchers who have looked at the food environment around schools have found that 60% of schools in a large city had a fast food restaurant, and 56% had a convenience store within 800 meters, which is about a half a mile. Also, access to fast food and convenience stores was more common among schools in low-income neighborhoods or those serving low-income students. But two published studies examining race and ethnic disparities found inconsistent results. Also, food outlets were more prevalent near schools in areas with higher population density and more commercial land use. And related to this last point, in New York City, low-income and minority students tend to live in areas or attend schools in areas that are more urbanized. So the association of race and ethnicity and economic characteristics may be confounded by the built environment. So in response to this research, we wanted to accomplish three objectives. First, we wanted to describe the food environment around schools in a densely settled urban environment. And for this, we focused on food outlets that can be sources of inexpensive, high-calorie, and low nutritional value food. Second, we wanted to describe the economic and race and ethnic disparities in the food environment around schools. And for this, we considered the race and ethnic and economic composition of students enrolled in schools rather than the neighborhood around the schools. And third, we wanted to evaluate the contribution of the built environment factors to any disparities we found. And our built environment characteristics included population density, land zone for commercial development, and subway stops. These were all defined for 400 and 800 meter buffers around schools. So first we obtained school data, the locations of schools, from data that we got from the New York City Department of Education. There were 1,579 schools in our data set that included charter schools, vocational schools, special ed and GED programs, although it did not include preschool programs. Then we obtained data on student enrollment, poverty, and racial ethnic composition, most of which came from the New York City Department of Education, but where that data was not available, we supplemented from other online sources. We also created a dichotomous variable to indicate whether or not the school had an elementary school, middle school, or high school on campus. Our unit of analysis was the school building or the school campus. So we aggregated all of our student characteristic data to the building or campus level, and there was 1,135 school buildings in our aggregated data set, and 1,089 of which had data on enrollment and student characteristics. So our school neighborhood, as I mentioned, was defined with buffers that stretched along the street network to 400 and 800 meters away from school entrance points. So this is a map of our of all the buffers for all the schools in New York City. To create these buffers, we wanted to be as exact as possible, so we visually geolocated entrance points of schools using aerial photography. Then the entrance points, which are those little green stars, were snapped to the nearest street center line, and a 400-meter and an 800-meter buffer was created around those. So the different shadings of gray actually indicate the four different network buffers that would be created from these four entrance points. But to get one buffer for the entire school, we dissolved those to get what you see here as the orange outline. Our food environment data came from Dun & Bradstreet, a commercial database vendor. Our outcome variable was the counts of businesses in each type that fell within the buffers. We looked at five different business types: convenience stores, bodegas or small grocers, national chain fast food, local fast food, and pizza. These were identified either through SIC code or from some other identifying characteristic in the data, such as the number of employees or the company name or the trade style name. National chain fast food was identified based on a list that we found online of the top 100 limited service chain brands. And then local fast food was first identified through SIC coding, so a business that identified itself as fast food. And then we located other restaurants throughout New York City with the same names. These images are meant to illustrate how we defined all our built environment characteristics for the school buffers. Population density came from the census and was expressed in people per square kilometer. This first image on the top shows block groups with varying levels of population density. An average was created for each buffer by weighting the values by the proportion of the block group that falls within the buffer. Then subway stops were calculated by joining station points to buffers and just calculating the total for the buffer. And then the image on the bottom here shows in the green color, the green color, those are commercially zoned tax lots. And we calculated the proportion of the buffer that's covered by that green area. So that was determined for this measure. We use negative binomial regressions for our analysis to evaluate the independent associations between the food environment and school composition, school type, and built environment. We ran two separate models. The first predicted counts of the five business types within 400 and 800 meters, and based on the school race and ethnic and poverty composition. Then the second model added the built environment features and the middle and high school indicator. And then models were weighted by the student population of the school building so that we could get a coefficient for the average accessibility per student rather than the average per school. So here are some of the descriptive results. This table compares measures of the food environment within 400 meters by student characteristics. And so numbers that really pop out here, bodegas were the most common food outlet type that was found near schools. So 93% of students within schools had access to a bodega within 400 meters. And most schools also had access to a pizzeria nearby. So 71% of students had ready access to pizza. Hispanic students had the highest access to all of the food outlet types, and there was no difference by student poverty in their access to national chain restaurants as compared to non-poor students, but poor students were more likely to have access to all other types of food outlets than non-poor students. This graph shows how population density is associated with the number of food outlets. It compares the median number of food outlets by tertiles of population density. So as population density increases, all five outlet types also become more prevalent. And bodegas, which is the black bar, are far more frequent than any other of the food outlet types. So this is the first of our analytic results. I'll show you separate slides for each of the food outlet types. And shown here is the relationship between student composition and national fast food restaurants. Schools with high proportions of Hispanic students were associated with significantly more national chain restaurants, while schools with more students in poverty actually had fewer national chain restaurants nearby. But then when we add in the built environment characteristics in Model 2, the relationship between Hispanic students and national fast food becomes not significant. And although the significance level declines, a higher percent of students in poverty is still associated with fewer national chain fast food restaurants. And high school, a school with a high school on campus is more likely to have a national chain fast food restaurant nearby. So for local fast food, again, the proportion of Hispanic students is associated with additional local fast food restaurants, but not after controlling for the built environment. And I will say that the built environment characteristics had significant associations with the food environment measures in almost all cases. Bodegas and small grocers, after adjusting for the built environment characteristics, the association between student characteristics and bodegas changed very little and remained significant. So that's. And for pizza restaurants, schools with higher proportions of African American students and Asian students after controlling for the built environment were associated with fewer pizza restaurants. And again, the percent of Hispanic students was associated with more, but not after controlling for the built environment. So in conclusion, it was obvious that New York City public school students have ready access to inexpensive, energy-dense foods. Although before controlling for the built environment, the proportion of Hispanic or Latino students was associated with higher counts of all five food outlet types. Then most of the ethnic and income differences are accounted for by differences in zoning or other built environment features, which had strong and consistent effects on the counts of food outlet types. It was also obvious that bodegas or small grocers are an important element in any New York City initiative to improve the local food environment for low-income and minority students. Our study had several strengths and some limitations. The strengths included our creation of a spatially precise school entrance point and our use of the street network to model the walkable neighborhood around schools. And also our use of data on population density, zoning, and public transportation allowed us to distinguish the effects of student characteristics on business counts from the effects of urban development. Some of the limitations included the omission of inexpensive takeout restaurants such as Chinese food restaurants that are not identifiable in the Dun & Bradstreet data based on their name or their SIC code. So these could have some influence on students. For sure. Also, we did not have any data on open or closed campus policies, so this may influence how students use the outlets around them. And also, our data doesn't show how the food environment surrounding schools would affect students' diets or weight, because we don't really know how the students are actually using the or what they might be buying from the stores around them. So, thank you. And I'm happy to take questions. So, if any. Did anyone have any questions? Maybe you'll think of some later.
You did an excellent job. No questions.